I used to love my morning coffee, until it stopped loving me back. The bloating, the discomfort, it wasn't worth it anymore. Then I found Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's real coffee blended with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics that's gentle on my stomach and gives me smooth, steady energy. Right now, get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, enter for a chance to win $100 cash or get your entire order refunded. Visit everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
Want a smoother contour and more youthful looking cheeks? Rediscover a younger looking you by adding volume to the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC, part of the number one selling collection of dermal fillers based on January 2022 provider survey data. With help from Juvederm Voluma XC and a licensed specialist, you can achieve a more youthful cheek look completely customized for your goals. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
And welcome to the Men's Journal Everyday Warrior podcast. I'm your host, Mike Cirilli. I've been looking forward to this one. I've got David Boreanaz, who plays Master Chief Jason Hayes, a badass, on the CBS Paramount Plus show SEAL Team, entering their sixth season, which is a milestone to say the least, man. It's been crazy watching the evolution of this. I'm sure that does not fall on deaf ears when I say that.
You know, I think I'm actually getting younger during this, trying to do this stuff, man. I wouldn't have said that probably 2 weeks ago when we were just actually finished shooting in Jordan. We were there in the Middle East shooting, and it was some pretty heavy stuff that we were doing out there. And it's a grind. It's hard to say that we've actually finished six seasons, and we're going into the premiere of season six this Sunday on Paramount Plus. It's been a ride, physically, mentally, for me to undertake this character. Someone who I thought from afar didn't really understand what a SEAL was, didn't really know the capacity of the mental aptitude and the physical strength needed in order to, you know, do what these guys do. I just kind of went into it a little blindly, and my wife reminded me that, you know, this is like the baddest of the baddest dudes around that you could ever come across. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. And little did I know the amount of stress that it would put on my body and also the mental component to it. We pride ourselves in really studying these characters and trying to give the audience an inside look from their perspective. And when I say their perspective, I mean we are with their SEALs. We are in their missions, we're in their operations, and we get a really strong sense of the show from their perspective. The executive producer, Chris Chulak, laid that down in the pilot when we shot it, 6 years ago in New Orleans. And I showed up kind of this young, fresh guy who had no idea what was going on. And we did our first scene with me boarding a C-17, and you know, that went great. It was just a scene. I was throwing my sack around and doing a scene with Mandy there, played by Jessica, and it went great. And then the next night it was like, totally, you're being thrown on a ship. It's windy as hell. There's these containers we had to open, and they put the equipment on me. It was like the helmet, the nods, the pack, the gun. And I literally, when they put the nods down, I was like, this is a fucking joke, right? Because I can't see, I can't adapt. It was a big wake up call, just for the equipment itself. And, you know, I had to adapt pretty quickly and get the scene through, which by the hair of my back, I kind of did. And as we progressed, it was a battle to get that gear down. And it was some heavy gear. And that was like kind of my first kind of like real insight into, oh, just such a small detail like that. And it doesn't even compare. We don't scratch surfaces to what the real guys do. We, you know, we play the Hollywood thing. And, you know, again, it's, you know, we can yell cut. These guys don't yell cut. They just keep going, man. And they carry a heavy cross. But yeah, six seasons, it's looking back, it's been quite a ride and a lot of stories, a lot of memories, a lot of moments that I can talk about, but, you need more than 45 minutes for that one. Cause these guys are an amazing group of fellows and they've taken me on and, I've learned so much from them. You know, both in my private life with them, as well as just getting to know their stories and what their struggles are all about.
David, you've given me so much to unpack. It's not even funny. So, well, first off, was Jordan, because I can only imagine, I mean, time, money, the budget, it's got to be, you guys are filming just nonstop long days for a little sleep.
Yeah. We're efficient to begin with. I mean, when we started our show off, it was like, oh, we got 12 hours to shoot the show. And then we got it down to 10 hours. And then we were rocking days that were like under 10 hours. You know, the efficiency of the people that are even on the crew itself for ex-military guys, whether they're in the Marines or dev crew, you know, producers, writers. So we adapted that style and, you know, we could really, you know, we can crush elements. And the way we shoot this, it has a very sense of like a documentary feel to it.
Yeah.
Because you're always with the SEALs and it's very active. And when I say active, it's like we throw the camera in people's faces and we just go, we don't rehearse. There's no last looks. This is not a Hollywood game. We show up and we are ready to roll. And when the camera is rolling, even though you think it's not on you, it will end up in your face, in your emotions, feeling that raw energy that, you know, kind of defines our show. So going to Jordan, it was, you know, the communication barrier and trying to understand like how to communicate that to the Jordanian crew, which they were fantastic. But, you know, there's that slow kind of impulse that's like, you know, don't speak Arabic. We have people that are helping us with whether you're dealing with 150 extras, you know, or whatever that may be in the background. It's tough and it was hard. And the ground was rubble. It was a lot of concrete, a lot of stone.
Yeah.
You know, the heat was heavy. So, you know, we just, you know, we went in and adapted and we made some moves and we pivoted and we got the job done, but it was tough. But I think it's definitely going to show and be impactful for this season. I think probably our best season we've ever done.
The efficiency you talk about, man, that sounds like a SEAL team. You know,
yeah.
That comes from working with each other for 4 years.
Yeah.
You said something about there isn't a SEAL that wouldn't tell you they would rather go against a numerically superior force, three times larger than our force on land, than going on the water and taking the ship down. Bottom line, worst nights of my life. And we actually took some Army soft guys and they did a caving ladder climb after a long boat ride. You're sopping wet. Yeah, the gear becomes sloppy. You're trying to look through the nods, which are fogged up. And they did it. But afterwards, they're like, that was the worst thing we've ever done. Kudos to you guys. We never want this maritime mission. We're going to go back to what we do. And these guys are some of the best, man. I mean, there's times we've done a long climb and somebody's already over the rail and I'm literally just petered out. And I'm like, hey dude, grab my harness right now. They grab it and yank me and just pull me over. And I lay there for about a minute. So,
that's the brotherhood. I mean, right there is distinguishable about like what really is, it's not really about yourself. Like look left and right, look at the person next to you, man. Like you have to get them through. That's the model that I've learned is you have to take yourself out of the equation in a way and surround yourself with that weak link. That person next to you needs that hand. And,
yeah,
you know, you see these SEALs go on to big Fortune 500 companies or big businesses, or even if they're running top notch security businesses, or, you know, they're speaking for, you know, on behalf of for a general manager of a major sports team. These guys know how to get the best out of people. And it's very simple too, right? It's this equation of you are there for the person next to you, man, and you have to pull them through. It's a team effort. It's not You take the ego, get it out of the door, strip yourself, and become this one flowing unit. And it really makes sense in a lot of ways. When we were in Jordan, and I was sitting there with Tyler Gray, who was ex-Dev Crew guy, who, you know, suffered some major injuries.
Badass.
And we were sitting in the streets. You were in Jordan shooting for Syria, and we were in a pretty sketchy part of the neighborhood. A lot of Syrian refugees were basically there. It was a camp. And I'm sitting there on the gear, and I was like, Tyler, I really understand now, like, when we rehearse or go over movements into a door, why I have your back, why I'm having 360 degrees of covering just going into a door. And he said, yeah. And let me give you another example. You see those people about 100 yards up on the rooftop? Imagine that person with an RPG. You see the woman in the left-hand side in that little window there and that drape flowing? Think of her with a gun. You know, how about the person behind you, you know, with the windows? Like, everywhere you look, there was a nook, cranny, and a crevice. And you're majorly exposed. You're so exposed. And it really hit me being in that environment for what it was. You know, obviously we were portraying these as characters, but to really feel and look around, man, he really tripped me out. It's like, you just experience that person over there, or you see a flicker of a light over there. You get to understand what these men go through and the courage they have. And I think that's the big words, the courage, because we all fear, man. We all have fear, whether you're a doctor, you know, whether you're Tom Brady. It's fear is like the evolution. Fear is like the fuel, right? But you have to have the courage to go through the fear, take the fear and use it. And, you know, these guys, you know, when presented a situation like that in real, with real life situation, it's daunting. And he really got to my head that day, man. It was like, and I was just picking him for, you know, questions. And I was like, Tyler, what would they do if this happened? And, you know, where would you go if you were here? You'd go into that door. It's like, you'd get your ass in that door quick. So quite an experience being over there and seeing these sequences that would play out in your head. And, you know, you relate to our show. And as a character, you develop that. And I think exponentially for us, being in Jordan in that environment is just going to heighten the show so much more.
You know, urban combat is, if I recall the statistic, you have 70% more casualties in urban combat than you would in, let's say, mountainous terrain like Afghanistan, even though, you know, the Taliban were seasoned fighters. But, you know, you described something earlier. You said season one, you know, wily-eyed. And that's what I love, the realism of how you guys have evolved, wily-eyed at a young age, all for love of country. And you guys have shown that evolution of, and there's a point, you know, the first maybe three combat deployments are for love of country, and then it becomes about the brotherhood. Yeah. And what you're describing about that, those attributes that exist within the characters and in real life SEALs. I mean, we put a precedence on attributes like teamwork and conformity. When I say conformity is not necessarily a bad thing. Conformity to standard operating procedures, things like that. We still want people to be individuals. And God knows, watching the characters, each person has their personalities. Willie Nelson said, let people be people. It's their greatest strength. But, you know, we had a phrase, long live the brotherhood. And it is a tribe. And it is, I mean, it is the greatest support network. It becomes part of your DNA. For the characters that are still around, have you seen that bond strengthen over the years? Is it lost on you guys? Have you come together and said, dude, could you imagine like doing this in real life, all we've been through?
No. Like, you know, AJ and I always joke, man, we'd be freaking done, dude. I'm sorry. 1-2 minutes into real life, he'd be like, I'm done, dude. There's no way I would survive that live. First of all, the swim and like, you know, jumping off of a plane and then parachuting and then swimming and then getting to your mark. It's like, yeah, it's crazy. And I think for us, it's the brotherhood started, you know, the pilot. It was a really strong sense of understanding each other and trusting each other, like to have their back. Like these guys, I'd come in late to the pilot and they just took me in and like, you know, were there for me. Like, what do you need? How can we help you? And there were moments where I've been going downstairs with nods on that don't even work. And Tyler's teaching me how to look underneath it. And these stairs were like really width, was like this much. Just that in itself was like, guys, you're in front of me, I'm coming in last. You got to slow the fuck down because I can't. You guys are clearing rooms in front of me, and I'm not even.
Which is said, bro. Which is said all the time.
It's like, yeah. Please, dude. Like, I get it, and they got it, and you know, you guys have been training for what, 3 weeks to get into this thing. I just kind of dropped in and started with y'all, but there's that bond that gets created through season one. It was created through the mission that we went on and discovering each other's characters through, you know, the situation for each one of these characters, whether they're dealing with something back home, how they deal with it when they pack it away, how they get front side focused, you know, how they keep their heads on a swivel, you know. And for me, it was, you know, Jason Hayes, he's a team leader. He's got to compartmentalize. He's got to talk to Havoc. He's got to deal with the chaos of what's going on around him. He's got to tell his men what to do. He's got to make decisions. He's got to be quick and decisive, and he can't be laid back. He cannot. He's just got to know. He's got to drive that nail. And that brotherhood continued from season one into season two, and it all bled into each other. So much so that, you know, like we would have people over at the house and, you know, have these great Christmas parties, you know, families knowing each other, there for each other, seeing real team guys come and go on their show that, for better, for worse, were just had to go back, you know, I don't know if addiction is really the aspect of it. It's like that feeling of being in the environment is something for them, that smell. It's just, they, it's like being on a Blackhawk, and you know, it's like, oh, Tyler's like, hey, we've been in Blackhawks so many times, but I usually fall asleep. But when I get on that Blackhawk and I smell that gasoline and I hear the roar, it just brings you back, man. And you're like, I fucking need it. It's just this need inside your veins that pumps your veins and gets you so excited. And that's what we learned off of each other as characters as we grew, right? Because we have real guys there that are telling us situations. How do we approach this? How do we shoot this? And we're going to do it real, and we're going to do it the way that you guys would do it. And that just built over seasons, and it created a huge bond. And that's part of the brotherhood that you speak of.
That is, so you're not wrong at all. And I hate to say addiction, but I also use the word drug. It does. Combat. There's a lot of people, a lot of service members that lost their lives, and I don't want to be trivial about it, but it does. There's something about it where I think it brings out both the best and the worst in man.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say I saw the best from our guys. I saw the worst from the enemy.
Yeah.
I watched Michael Mansoor jump on a grenade 3 feet from me and give his life for me. And he was posthumously awarded the Medal of Honor. But, you know, what I'm sensing from you now and in your tone, I felt like I never belonged at the last place I served. The guys you did said the mental aptitude and how just insanely smart the guys were. And you said it, like, there's a lot of guys from my last place that are going to Harvard to get their MBAs, Wharton, Booth, none of which I could get into. So I had to go to the University of Texas. No hit on Texas, but watching Selfless Valor on a nightly basis was insane. And I've got to say, man, you guys make it look a lot cooler than it was in reality. Usually I didn't call it a mission unless I tripped on my own feet on night vision at least three times. Let's talk about Master Chief Jason Hayes, because the guy's a badass and he does have to make very hard decisions. What have you learned from that character? Or is there a moment, a specific scene when, you know, the Master Chief had to make a call where you're like, man, I would not want to be in that position in real life, where he's got to make a hard call that possibly costs one of his guys' lives?
Yeah, there's so many, I mean, instrumental moments that kind of defined and kind of built his character up. I mean, I remember being the pilot again, and there was a scene where, you know, my character jumped off the front of the ship and he's in full gear and he drops in and he's with his buddy, ship explodes, and our team was supposed to come by and pick us up. So I actually got in the water. I had all this equipment on. I had a 7mm wetsuit on, bro. And I was like, I get in the fucking water, you know, and I'm splashing around. The boat misses me. The guys are supposed to pick me up. there's like a stunt boat that's like look at me. I'm starting to cramp up. I'm fucking sucking down the river. And I'm thinking to myself, what the hell did I get myself into here, man? Like, just personally, I'm like, I'm going to fucking die today in this fucking, I'm literally saying help. And this guy's not helping me. So our boat comes back and the guys grab me. They pull me in. I get slammed in the face. I got a cut like right here. I'm fucking bleeding. And, you know, I'm trying to get this wetsuit off. I can't breathe. I felt like a python just sucked all the air out of me. And I was able to regain composure, and I'm fucking pissed. And the boat, the camera boat pulls up. They're like, oh, dude, what happened? We got to get you back to, you know, the land there. I was like, fuck it, man. Let's go. Let's fucking shoot this thing. Let's fucking go. It was like that moment clicked. It's almost kind of like clicked. And, you know, Mark Owen, who, you know, brought the show to CBS originally, who's badass and, you know, his whole story. He was just like in the shadows, just kind of watching. Like, this is the fucking guy that came in. And we know it's like, that's the fucking drive, right? And that was just an experience that I had personally to kind of go. I'm like, you know what? We're going to fucking get the scene. We're going to get it done. And I can only imagine if for real I had to jump off a boat and get picked up and I don't get picked up and I'm fucking, you know, and I got real bullets flying at me. I wouldn't want to be in that situation. But there's something deep inside of me that said, You know, I come from a very heavy sports kind of background. I use sports as a big metaphor in my life and training. I was like, we're going to get this done. It's a fucking, this is what we're going to do. And it was kind of like the tipping point for me to understand what this character really was about deep down. Yeah. You have the drive. Nothing's going to fucking knock you down. You get hurt, brush it off. You deal with the pain and you figure it out. you're in that adrenaline space. There were all other moments along the way in so many seasons where I would not want to be with my dog carrying him around in the snow, you know, lost, trying to take care of my dog. Like, that's a whole nother aspect of it, is that understand these guys have such love for their dogs, man. Like, it's huge companion, right? And we get it.
Teammates.
It's unconditional love. It's like something there for these guys to talk to without getting a response, just total acceptance, man. It's like total empathy, right? Like, you get it, man. But wouldn't want to be in that type of situation, lost, freezing, and having to deal with the elements itself. So there are a lot of these little moments along the way that I had to push through. As you know, look, we're acting these situations in these scenes, but because we pride ourselves in putting ourselves in the elements and shooting it for real, like, we're getting into a Black Hawk and we're going to shoot. You're going to be strapped down. There's going to be a camera on here. We're going up. We're not doing it on a green screen. We're not doing it on a rig. And we have done it on rigs a couple of times. But by season five, they're like, you know, there's a safety protocol here, guys. You guys are going up and you're spinning all over the place and shit. And Jordan, I was up there for 26 minutes. It was just me and Tyler, and that went for a long time in the desert, and it was dark. We didn't expect to be up there for that long, and we had another real team guy there who was directing it, and he was like, that was getting a little sketchy. You know, you get in these moments, and you're like, Jesus Christ, man. And you get through it, and yeah, you're thankful, and you're blessed to be able to get through it and be like, hey, we got some great footage. But then you look back, and you go, man, was that really, like, this is a fucking television show, man. This is... We're portraying this. We're not, you know, we don't put ourselves in harm's way. Safety's always first and foremost for us when we're doing these types of things. But there's these little moments and scenes that have built Jason Hayes over the six seasons. There's so many of them. And even if it's a personal moment of reflection and being in his apartment alone and understanding his traumas, his trigger points, how he has to deal personally with the loss of his men, right? The loss of 42 guys on his phone that he, you know, he still has packed away in his phone, you know, the trauma of that, the trauma of dealing back home and not being accepted, like, just all of that just pounds and adds up. And that's a, you know, once again, those are demons, and those are things that we know everyone fights on their own levels, right? You know, then you get into PTS, and then you get into TBI, then you get into like plant medicine, and you talk about ayahuasca, like, it's all there, man. You know what? And it's something that I've been a part of for six seasons, and it's been some really great highs and some of the really, really bad lows in my life through those six seasons. But
And I want to unpack.
I wouldn't change a thing.
Oh, but you know, the in one, yeah, safety. We want you guys to be safe, but it's also the reason that there is a season six is that you guys are pushing the limits to make it as realistic as possible for us viewers while keeping the story, stories of our fallen alive, man. And for that, genuinely, man, appreciative. Because when you watch the show, you see sort of storylines of true stories from combat. You know,
SEALs. And at first it was kind of like, you know, people are skeptical. They see a show about SEALs and special operators. And they're like, ah, this is going to suck. The equipment's not going to be right. You know, it's not going to look good. It's going to be bad. They're going to do these bad storylines. And we managed to win those people over because we just kept to what was real. And we kept to what stories needed to be told. We continue to put the light in the darkness. And, you know, as far as the equipment is concerned, I think we have the best equipment you can even look at. I mean, Justin Melnick does such a great job with all the equipment, man. He finds stuff that's like, even guys don't even have vests, man. They're pretty badass. So
you guys have actually nailed that one. You have. And when you watch it, it's pretty realistic. Always looking for the next sort of 1% on the up and coming equipment or whatever's coming off what we call COTS, commercial off the shelf. So we're gonna have a little fun before we go to a mid-roll break. We're gonna play Who Would You? So whether it's the SEAL character or the actual cast member, to include yourself, all are viable answers. Who would you most likely take into a gunfight?
Who would I take?
Yes.
Like take out? Like if I had to, like,
if you had to go into a gunfight, who would you choose? One guy.
Oh, to have it on my side?
Yes.
Oh, to have on my side? You know, as for Jason Hayes, for my character, I would say it would probably be Max, Terry Clay.
Yeah.
He's a sniper. He's got that zone in, like, you know, he's not going to be this radical gunslinger like fucking Sonny Quinn. You know, Neil's up there too. Bravo 2 is pretty close as well. Max has a nice snarp shoot. Man, he's pretty focused up. I would want him on my back, dude. Definitely.
I'd say viable answers. Good answers. Yeah. Who's most likely to show up late to work as a SEAL or as a or to set as a cast member?
That's a tough one, man. I think that we've all been relatively really good as far as showing up is concerned. I don't want to throw anybody under the bus, man, character-wise, if Jason Hayes, and we're talking characters, not real people, I would say, Sonny Quinn's a little late to the party sometimes. But he's somebody that you definitely want on your left side because he gets the job done, and he's such that character is such a true bond to Jason Hayes, where it's like, I think more and more this year than it's ever been. Because he just, there's this bloodline of understanding these two and how they kind of work. And if they're at the bar hanging out or if they're on a mission, and then it, like him pushing Sonny to make a call, and, you know, he just thinks that he's just this, you know, the knuckle dragger. Like, you know, he's not, he's more than that, you know, like push him to be the best that he can possibly be.
Well, you brought up the bar, so now this is fair game. What character is probably the biggest lightweight on SEAL Team?
Oh, well, you know, I love Neil, man. I love him, man. You know, he's definitely one who could definitely sip some old fashions for a long time. But his character, I would think, would be a little lightweight. Yeah, a little light. You know, his character is very tuned into his family, as is the storyline is, and that's been something that we're looking forward to. If there's potential season 7 to shake that up a little bit.
Oh, there will be. Who's most likely? And I ask these questions. Who's most likely to cut themselves with their own knife?
Oh, wow. Man, I mean, Jason Hayes would cut himself pretty open for his bloodline, for his brothers at any moment. So with himself, man, he's going to put himself out there and he's going to metaphorically do that.
Who's most likely to bite someone if you try to take a bite out of their food?
I would say Trent Tyler. Yeah, for sure. He's I swear to God, this guy can eat like two cheeseburgers in under a fucking minute, and he can sleep standing up like no other.
Man, I was trying to set up the hair missile for at least one.
Yeah, well, the hair missile definitely would. He's under major supervision right now. He's kind of retired, but
yeah,
you know, I wouldn't mess with his food. No,
no, man. Belgian Malinois. Let's just say a few of those dog handlers definitely had some scars on their hands. Yeah. That was good. Okay, so we're gonna take a quick mid-roll break, and we'll be right back. And we're back. We were talking about Jason Hayes and just how, you know, the character has developed, how deep the character is. I know, and this is crazy. I heard this in an interview. You have a lot of vets that come up to you and thank you guys for doing what you do with this show. That's insane, man. That's got to sort of take you back in the moment that you guys are even helping vets who are struggling with some of these silent wounds that we talk about.
Yeah, and those silent wounds are deep, man. You know, something that it's hard to talk about sometimes, because being in this type of community, being accepted into it, and these operators aren't operating anymore, and they lose a brother to whatever that may be, to suicide, or, you know, that rate has gone up in the past 6 months. Crazy, man. You know, it's when you get like a veteran come up to you and say, you know, thanks for saving my life, I called this veterans hotline. You just really reflect on that moment and go, this is why we do this type of show. This is why the character to me is so important. Is the reward is being able to help someone, like just here to help. If my character can make a slight impact on a guy who's really struggling, whether it's depression or whatever that might be, or just traumas, and says, you know what, I really need to lean into a brother now or make a call. And that one call can help because you saw the show or saw the character, you identified with it, then we're doing our job right. I'm doing my job right. And that to me is a huge, huge reward. And I don't take that lightly. I look at it as this is what it's about. This is is going out and beating your body up. Yeah, you know, we do it in a very realistic way. Our bodies get beat up. You know, I've had one knee surgery already because of this. You know, your back hurts. When I put that helmet on, which was Mark's, you know, original helmet, it's like, dude, I'm wearing his helmet that he went on 13 deployments with. And if that thing could talk, man, Jesus. I remind myself, like, again, this is just a show, but if we can reflect that reality and show them that, and they can be affected by it, and they come up to us and say, you know, thank you for saving my life, for getting me started, that's it. That's very impactful.
The greatest currency in life, and I say this all the time, is impact, man. And yeah. While you may be playing a character, the amount of impact that's happened amongst the veteran community, that's massive, dude. You know, you talk about the impacts of the job, especially these guys who have 10 plus combat deployments under their belt. That's insane. The second you get out, and maybe I'm speaking personally here, I don't want to speak for anyone else, but it was like when I stopped doing the job and motion stopped, that's when the injury started to really come out. It's, you know, motion is lotion. One left, you know, I've already replaced one hip. One's on the way. The impacts are... It crushes your body, especially, you know, you've alluded to the endocrine system where guys are just beat to hell. Hell, by the age of 35, I was issued hearing aids, a sleep apnea machine, which when you're single is not exactly an attraction for a lot of the ladies out there. No, it was, and it continues, but you know, I can tell you've been talking to a lot of SEALs and you talked about ayahuasca, you know. What's your opinion? And I went and did the psychedelics, man. And I'm a, you know, Roman Catholic kid. Parents were very, you know, anti-drug.
Yeah.
But I went, and of course, I'm 42 at the time, went and did Ibogaine and had a spiritual experience. And I called my dad afterwards and said, hey, Pops, this is what I did. He's like, good on you, man.
Good. Good.
Do you support these other modalities?
Yeah. Big supporter of plant medicine.
Yeah,
I was fortunate to be able to do that. Got the call this past 3 months ago and did it, and was had just an extraordinary experience. You know, we're not talking about synthetic drugs here. We're talking about something that comes from the indigenous culture that is of one medicine. Yahe was 5,000 years old. It's the grandfather of the drink. Mother Ayahuasca was, you know, revealing in itself. And even before I went, it was revealing. Everything's on the table then. Like, everything's there. Everything just unfolds and you deal with it and you go through it, right? Yeah, and I remember going there and talking to the guy, and he's like, you know, listen, man, you're at a good boiling point right now. Your emotions are high. This is going to work for you. Just be open, man. Like, really be open. And that was my mantra. Like, really be open. Like, see it for what it is. Lean into the dark side of it, right? Meaning, you know, when you start to have these visions internally, you're not going to go to, you know, the cartoon is flipping pancakes and making you laugh.
Yeah.
Right? You want to go to the guy who's like mowing his lawn and he's got like a sweater on, looks weird. That's what I mean about going to the dark side of the soul, right? To understand, to uncover that, to find the pain, to forgive yourself, to heal yourself. And yeah, big supporter of it. I plan on doing, you know, sitting with some smaller circles now that I've kind of initiated myself into it. Big, big advocate through, again, through some SEALs, through Kenny, through Ryan Sangster. Like, these guys become my brothers. And it's good to be able to talk to somebody who's been through that and understands it. And yeah, big component of what can help you with your traumas, right? What can help you with PTS? What can help you with TBI? Like, all of those things, facing it. And a lot of people are afraid. You know, obviously they don't want to do it. They don't want to unpack all that stuff again. You know, it's a calling, right? You get called to do it. And I'm not telling people to go out there and do it. I'm not saying, I'm not putting that on them. That's their choice, right? That's their barn. That's their lane. You know, you control your 3-foot world, right, man? That's your business, man. That's you. And everything else outside that, you can't control it. And one of the things I really learned being on the show for 6 seasons is that. But yeah, big supporter of plant medicine. Really am.
You know, I resisted it for 2 years. I'd known about it for a while and finally said, hey, let's give this a shot. It is interesting how societal norms are sort of breaking down the maybe preconceived notions about LSD, which this is not synthetic. Like you said, this is plant-based drugs. But good on Congressman Dan Crenshaw, who also is a former SEAL, for proposing the bill for use of certain psychedelics within the VA to help possibly get these guys on the right path. And it was definitely interesting. You know, as you said something earlier about compartmentalizing.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, outside of the mission sets that you guys do, the combat scenes, you're showing a lot of the back in the homes, back in society. And the issues, I mean, it's just so eerie how well you guys have done it with the families and the constant repeat deployments and how hard it is to juggle that part of your life. I mean, we used to say, hey, man, your real family comes second. The SEAL teams come first when you're at certain places. But you must realize how hard it is to maintain a family, a functional family, while doing that job through these.
I couldn't imagine, man. I couldn't imagine being a real, you know, team leader and not in being able to tell them, like, hey, you know, I'm going away. I can't tell you anything like that. That's just crushing. It's crushing, man. Just knowing that you can never possibly see your son or daughter again is just, or your significant other. That to me is, man, I don't know how those guys do it. I really don't, man. That's when you really, really think about that. Sure, it sounds like when it's presented to you, it's like, oh yeah, you know, it's part of the job. But no, man, it's intense, and it weighs on their minds, right? It weighs on their mental capacity to understand that. You're trained to do this. You've been through BUDS, and you've been through another exponential kind of training in order to even make it as a SEAL or a team leader. And it's like the mental adversities you have to go through in order to gauge that. They train that. It's trained in you. And then when it's all over, it's like, how do we understand it? How do we... like, what, where's the book on that? Like, where's the love, man? Like, that's
when you find that book, let me know.
Yeah, I will. And it's, you know, I shudder over the fact that Bank of America is giving loans out to, you know, which is great, which is fine. But, you know, what about our veterans, man? They, well, I mean, it's just, it, it, we can go on this topic forever and ever.
Yeah,
a lot of it, but it's just disturbing that our veterans, people that have served this country, our men and women, do not get specific rights or granted health insurance, free homes, like across the board, man, just across the board. It shouldn't even be a debate. It shouldn't.
I agree with you. You're not going to hear any complaints from me on that one. There are a lot of great organizations out there. Sometimes it seems like there's so many great organizations for vets. It's hard to cut through the noise.
Yeah, it is.
And which ones are credible and which ones aren't. And
which Tyler told me like early on, like make sure you're behind ones that are, you know, legit, man, the grassroots ones. And I have been, and I've thoroughly enjoyed their energy and their vibration, man, and their presence, and what they give back is tenfold. And I'm, you know, that's a part of like you talked about compartmentalizing and understanding like how to deal with putting your family aside, taking your boys out somewhere, knowing what you're going to be called to do something. And this is your job. You don't have a political stance on it. This is your job. Your job is to get this done. This is who the hit is. And this is who you're going to take out, or this is who you're going to capture. This is it. Command doesn't fucking care. This is what you're doing. This is what you're doing. You're struggling at home. I know in this season, we really examine specific injuries to specific characters, what they're going through at home, and how Command is like, you got a job to do. You got to get this done. You're not coming home until you get this done. And you got other characters like, are you kidding me? Like, so-and-so is going through this, and we're gonna fucking continue. And it's like, yeah, as a team leader, I got to bring these guys together. And I got, you guys, this is what we have to do. It sucks, man. This is what we're trained to do. It's fucking heavy, man.
With that, what can the viewers expect from season 6?
Man, it's so crazy. I can't. The way we ended season 5 and massive explosion, RPG hits. Don't even know who's going to survive this.
Yeah.
Each and every one of these characters are going to be hit hard, mentally, physically. You know, there's not going to be anything on the table as far as like coming out clean on this one. And we're going to really dive into that. And there's going to be some really, really emotional, sad moments for each and every one of these characters to deal with while they're deployed, while they're in Syria, the storyline of being in Syria, dealing with these drones that are happening right now, right? Like dropping bombs on people and in situations and used against us. It's like, it's kind of like ironic how our storylines are filtered into like what's really happening out there, man. And I give that such great to Spencer Hudnut and the writers and the people who put these stories in play. But there's going to be such change and to each and every one of these characters, so much so that at the very end of season 6, you're going to have a moment that you're going to look at it and you're going to see it and you go, fuck, I understand this journey, because you have to go through the darkness of it and the pain and the emotional turmoil and the vulnerability of every one of these characters to get to earn to what happens at the end of season 6. It's fucking huge. And I mean that in a way of the brotherhood. And that's something that's very special this season.
What, you've got me provoked to watch this.
That's
going to
be cool, man.
Through.
Be so
when you read the script for this season, was it almost, did it take you back? Like, goddamn, the writers are up in the game.
I mean, every script is part of their process of taking a piece of you and like saying, okay, we're going to rearrange, put this in, and you're going to play this, and you're going to have to deal with this certain situation, you know, playing this character. Yeah, it's daunting. You read and you go, oh God, here comes this arc, man. And I got to deal with this arc, and I got to get into the skin of this guy and really feel the skin of it. And again, that's that the payoff is being focused to do that. And now looking back at it, going, man, it's going to be wild. And, you know, Paramount Plus has given us the opportunity to do that. This show was not a network show. It was not meant to be on a poppy kind of glossy kind of look of a show. You know, the pilot was shot. They loved it. It was great. And they're like, yeah, it's a fucking movie, man. This should be, you know, it should be on. It's the best cable show for network television. And, you know, it was. And, you know, we didn't formulate to what your network show is, right? Whether that is, and there's nothing against their network shows. CBS is awesome.
Absolutely.
But it just didn't fit their graph, man. And Paramount Plus came in and was like, bro, let's elevate this, man. Let's kick it up. Let's, you know, it's not about being able to say fuck or like get the fuck over here, whatever that is. Like, you know, like you got to earn all that stuff, right? But the elevation of the physicality of it, what we're shooting, and I mean, geez, we went to Jordan and shot for a month. Man, we're shooting in areas that are just like serious historical things going on. We're shooting in assault, and it's like, it's so biblical. And it's like, you're like, this is just going to be profound. There's so much footage. I don't even know how we're going to get it squeezed in, but we will. And it'll be awesome. So,
well, I'm glad to hear about that, about the leap to Paramount Plus. And it sounds like they have elevated the game as well. And the realism should be off the charts.
You know what? Quality, man. Elitism. It's like, you want to be the best at what you do, right? Like, it's like, okay, we're finally on the team that's going to fucking win a Super Bowl, man. Like, this is the team. This is like, I always compare the SEALs as a bunch of hockey players. Like, the NHL is Warrior. Like, you watch the playoffs, it's Warriors straight across the board. These guys play with torn ACLs, broken collarbones, and they're out there every night during a grueling run, and they don't talk about it until after they're kicked out of the playoffs. Right? That's a true SEAL to me, man.
I was warned you would work in a hockey analogy somehow. Pittsburgh Penguins, right?
No, Philadelphia Flyers.
I know. I'm joking.
Building mode right now, so it's okay. It's good to have a coach like John in there now who understands, whose son is a Marine, I think, and he'll apply some of those tactics. I love the fact that the first comment he came out real briefly is like, I don't like what our locker room is like right now. I don't like our room. Let's start there, right? I'm not naming a captain. Let's just start with the room.
Well, guys, you heard it. Season 6. If you don't have Paramount Plus, pick it up. You got to watch the show. But hey, David, we end the show in a certain way, man, because you've led, you've directed before.
Yeah.
You've been in a ton of shows. You've led, if we can leave our listeners with Men's Journal just a few nuggets on how to improve their lives, then we're going to do it. And so first one is biggest regret of your life.
Don't really have many. I just think that they're learning experiences. And I think that you go through it and you say, hey, you know what, man? If I don't go through it, then you don't see change. And change is significant to a better soul.
Every step has brought you somewhere.
Yep.
Toughest decision you've ever had to make in your life?
Man, every decision is definitely something that you revel in and something that you really put everything that you have into it. And man, I don't have one. I really don't have any regrets. I don't have any tough decisions. I know that there are choices that you've made, decisions in order to, oh, we're going to live in this area for a certain time with my family. Yeah. And it's going to be hard on my children because I'm working. I'm so far away. I'm so invested in this character sacrifice, it all kind of adds up. There's not one particular that stands out.
Invested in this character is probably an understatement. For David Borzianis, what are those 1 to 3 tenets that you've lived your life by, those non-negotiables that have led to the majority of your success in life?
You got to have faith, man. You really have to have a sense of faith in what you're doing, who you're all about. And you have to really put that out there. And you have to just, hope all in times of trouble that you're going to get through this, and prayer is so important. I think being a, brought up a Catholic boy, Italian Catholic, I think those three things are so important to have in your regimen. But God doesn't take off time, man. God's always with us. He's here. He's with us. And it's just a matter of shutting it all off and talking to him. You're never alone at a restaurant. You may be physically alone, but God's always with you.
Love it. When all is said and done, and your time has come, how are you going to look back on your life and evaluate whether you've lived a life of impact and purpose?
I'm not looking back at it, man. I'm just going forward because there's more to do. And I think that that is a testimony to some plant medicine work that I've been doing. And I think that there's, I understand where that light is. And that light to me is even more powerful than all of us. And we live in these vehicles. Our souls go someplace different and better. So we're always evolving, man.
I love the fact that although you've had one hell of a career, man, it sounds like you've got a lot more to do.
Yeah.
That's always evolving to the day, till the day you die. Hey man, I want to thank you personally. The impact of Hollywood is not missed on me either. I was born in the Bay Area of San Francisco, which is not exactly a hotbed for military recruitment, but you know, I remember watching films about certain organizations in the military and the combat, and not that they glorified it, but there was something about that that just drew me towards the military, because I didn't have a military lineage in my family, man. Right. And then when I met one of these real world characters, the guys you worked with as a young 18-year-old, I met a Force Recon Marine. That's what drove me to join the Marine Corps and then eventually into the SEAL teams. But whether you guys recognize it or not, you are probably the single greatest recruiting tool for these young teenagers coming out of high school who want to live the adventure, who want to learn to become a leader like Master Chief Jason Hayes, man.
Right.
And that in itself is massive impact. So thank you to you, the entire cast, for keeping the stories of our fallen alive. And again, also the work you do with veterans and just getting one person to say the three most powerful words in any language: I need help.
Yeah.
So David,
you, amen.
Thank you, brother. And I'm excited about season 6, which airs on
Paramount Plus. You know, you sign up now, you put code Bravo in it, BRAVO. You will get 1 month free, man.
Bravo. Okay. Yeah. And it airs this September 18th. Yeah, 18th.
Correct? Yep. September 18th. We kick off, man. The chopper takes off and we don't look back. We keep going forward.
Till next time. This is the Men's Journal Everyday Warrior Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Cirelli. Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Men's Journal Everyday Warrior Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the show and pick up a new issue of Men's Journal Magazine. Men's Journal Magazine has features on health and fitness, adventure and travel, style, and my favorite, the coolest gear hitting the market today. Until next time, I'm Mike Cirelli, and thanks for listening.